Welcome to another edition this morning of Biz Talk. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony.
And our guest this morning is Mr. Drew Fleck. He's the founder and owner of a company called Global Voyager Enterprises. We'll be talking with Drew in just a few minutes. First, we'll give you a little recap of what's going on with the local SCORE chapter here in Appleton. Randy, what's SCORE all up to this week?
Well, we've been pretty busy taking care of some of the things with SCORE, getting things organized. We just had our monthly meeting on Thursday, trying to find out what all's happening nationally and locally with SCORE. Also keeping the members that we have. We've got about 50 active SCORE counselors right now, serving all eight counties that we service. So trying to keep everybody booked up and busy with entrepreneurs is a good job. The other program we've got going, of course, is we're looking into January for the Simple Steps program coming up. That will be on a special program for people starting businesses to find out what's all involved in starting a business.
Is it really for them?
Yes, absolutely. If you are thinking about starting a business, have a lot of questions, aren't sure exactly whether it's just specially for you or not, the first program, that'll be on January the 19th, is designed primarily to answer those questions for you. Then after that, we do four other programs in February that go into detail on marketing, finance, business operations, and finding funding.
So getting the money.
Where's the money?
Need the money.
That's always the question. Anyway, all programs are $25 each, and you get a special package of all five for $100. So it's a pretty good deal. Like I said, the first one's January 19th, starting at 8 in the morning and running until about 12:30.
Now, SCORE has a website. It's scorefoxcities.com if anyone is interested in going there to learn more about the local SCORE chapter. As Randy mentioned, we service eight counties from here down through Fond du Lac, with about 45, 50 counselors or mentors who provide free service to entrepreneurs or those who are thinking of going into business. And we have expertise in areas like IT, marketing, HR, construction,
intellectual properties,
manufacture, finance, accounting.
Yeah.
So it's free service to entrepreneurs who are looking for ways and ideas to grow their business or even just use a SCORE mentor or two as a sounding board for what you think you might want to be doing next year in your business.
Right.
Now, we won't do the work for the client, but we work with the client to educate them and expose them to new thinking and new ideas.
Right. Two other things about SCORE, and that's so people understand too, is we don't just deal with people who are starting or thinking about starting businesses. If you've been in business for 3, 4, 5 years, hit a wall or need help, we're there to be able to provide that kind of specialized help as well.
I've had clients who have been in business for many years and now are looking to transition the firm to their children or maybe position themselves to sell the firm, cash out, if you will, and there are strategies to doing that. So SCORE has different resources available, not only within the chapter, but through the connections that a lot of the mentors have in the community to bring resources to assist that entrepreneur with their issue.
Absolutely. And we do a lot of partnering with different organizations. I think we've mentioned SBDC a few times. We're part of the SBA, Small Business Administration. One of the other groups we partner with is the New North, just to bring that up. And we'll be talking about a little bit more about that later. But New North is having their summit on December the 7th. It's going to be held out at the Radisson in Green Bay across the road from the airport up there. It's from 7 o'clock until 1 p.m., and it's an excellent, excellent
That's next
program.
Wednesday, I believe.
That's correct.
Right.
Great program for new businesses to be able to network, meet a lot of top-notch people, learn a lot of things about what's happening in the 18 counties of the New North and how, as a local business person, you play a very vital role in that New North program. So it's excellent for people to come.
Once again, I'd like to just mention that SCORE is available to those who would like to get some free counseling. And the way you do that, the best way to do that is go to scorefoxcities.com, check out the website. You can learn more about the Simple Steps program Randy just described. On that website, there's an application form for free counseling. Fill it out. Be sure you do a nice description of what the need is, if you need to get financing or if you have marketing issues, because then we know who to assign that case to. Then the mentor will contact you and set up a schedule to meet. But go to the website and fill out the application. Hit send button.
Okay, one last thing about SCORE also is we are always looking for people with background and experience in business who are willing to become SCORE mentors.
Right.
There are a lot of people out there that need your help. You've been in business for 15 years, 10 years, whatever, and have that kind of experience. Please.
Don't need to be retired.
No.
66% of the counselors today are still employed.
Right, and a lot of us are just tired, not retired. So
there you go. That's retreads.
Retreads.
Yeah.
But, we are looking, like I said, we cover 8 counties, so we're always looking for people who are interested in helping out. So, again, it's on the website, scorefoxcities.com. There's an application there for mentors.
Okay. I would also like to thank the sponsors who help bring the program to you each week. Those sponsors include Associated Bank, who's been with BizTalk for quite a few years, and we really appreciate their support. We'd like to thank Albertson Hailing CPA firms. They have offices here and in Green Bay. Kurt Hailing in the local Appleton office does a great job of accounting and budgeting and financial advisory services for entrepreneurs, and they also do individual tax returns. So remember Albertson Hailing if you have some questions about taxes or if you run a business and you need some help with the accounting side. And a special thank you to Lakeview Credit Union for being our sponsor. They've just completed their second year, I believe. They also provide some great business loan services and other consumer loan services, just like Associated Bank does. We really appreciate the support from our sponsors because those resources help to bring this program to our listening audience each week. We'd also like to thank our special recognition thank you to the Business News, the publication that comes out every 2 weeks. $20 for a whole year subscription, and you stay up to date with what's going on with the New North in Northeast Wisconsin and all business acclimates in that way. But I'd also like to say, Randy, that it was just this week I found out that BizTalk, the 9-hour or the 1-hour, I wish it was a 9-hour program, but the 9 to 10 hour on Saturday morning we penetrate about 26% of the age group 35 and up in the Appleton Oshkosh market. So we do have a good listening audience, and that success is really based on the audience tuning in because they're interested in entrepreneurism and looking for ways to improve their business. So we thank you for listening to the program.
Right, and as a little plug along that same line, if you're thinking of looking to be a sponsor of BizTalk with that kind of listenership, we do have a lot of people out there, so it would be an excellent opportunity for a small business to get yourself recognized.
And on that note, if you are interested in being a sponsor, please give me a call, Tony Bush, on my cell phone at 920-450-2840, 450-2840, if you'd like to be a sponsor. We'd be very happy to talk to you about that. Well, with that, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll meet our guest, Mr. Drew Fleck from Global Voyager Enterprises. You're listening to the voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. Good morning again, and welcome back to BizTalk this dreary duck hunting Saturday morning, but it's not that cold out there, and every warm one is one less cold one. So welcome back. We're going to be visiting this morning with Mr. Drew Fleck from Global Voyager Enterprises. Drew is in the studio this morning.
And Tony is due to be here very shortly.
I'm coming or going.
Okay.
Good morning, Drew. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Very good.
Welcome to our program, and thank you for coming in.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your background and Global Voyager Enterprises. What do you do, Drew?
Well, I've been in high tech now for 21 years, I think, and started off selling high-end printing products to high-end printers in the Milwaukee area, and from there I went to a boutique consulting firm where we did some integrated direct marketing projects for high-tech companies like DEC, if you remember them, and Toshiba, and Claris, and I worked on the Toshiba project, and from there I was recruited to work for Dell Computer down in Austin, Texas, and then from there I came back to Wisconsin. My wife's homing device went off, and so we moved back, and I went to work for a digital mapping firm that had a digital atlas of the world that needed some new strategies, and developed a global distributed alliance network for developing that product and selling mm-hmm. and marketing it throughout the world. And then from there, I went to Chicago for a short stint. I was commuting to Chicago on a regular basis.
Are you a Packer fan?
Off and on. It just depends.
Okay. More on than off.
More on than off, yeah. So from there, I went to Seattle. I was commuting to Seattle on a regular basis because I co-founded a business intelligence firm there that was dealing with B2B Wi-Fi startups, where we would actually provide some business intelligence both from a spatial intelligence standpoint, but also from a marketing standpoint, finding out where their customers were and helping them develop the profiles for those customers. And
what does Global Voyager Enterprises do?
Well, that's really a consulting firm that I started back in probably 98.
So you're an entrepreneur yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've always been doing startups, whether those startups are, you know, selling a new product or starting a new project for a larger company through some consulting practice, or doing a startup that's a new project within a larger corporation.
Mm-hmm. I see from your information here, too, you're also teaching at this time?
Yes. I'm actually teaching global business fundamentals at Fox Valley Tech. I have a couple classes there. I'm teaching global dimensions of business for Concordia's undergrad program.
Okay.
And in January, I'll be teaching international business for their MBA program.
Well, okay. Excellent.
Well, it is an international world.
Right.
The world is flat. And with the computer today, there are no borders anymore, so...
Well, actually, I disagree with that metaphor, but I think it's actually much deeper than that and complex.
Yeah.
But
who's the guy who wrote the book, The World
of Thomas Friedman.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got an interesting concept when he threw the title of the book.
Yeah. Do you find, just as an aside, when you start talking about teaching and so on, because I know both Tony and I get involved in teaching programs too,
mm-hmm.
That your students, when you start talking about it as an international concept, especially locally here in the Valley, because we're very provincial in our thinking, do you find it difficult to get the kids to understand? I shouldn't say kids, but the students.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm seeing a change as I go further along through the teaching. So when I started teaching 3 years ago, I think that it was less of an awareness of it being global. But as time goes on, I get more and more students who are becoming more aware of it. But by and large, I still have to disrupt their current operating system.
Okay.
Both in the methods that I use to teach,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
also in terms of the information that I'm passing on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, we broaden the horizons is what we need to do more
right,
of.
Right, right.
Drew, you mentioned the other day that you are a fan of Steve Blank.
Yes.
And one of the things you wanted to cover this morning, and I think it fits the market that we address through BizTalk and through SCORE, is entrepreneurship, entrepreneurs.
Yes.
There's not just one mold, is there?
No, there isn't. There isn't. And I think that one of the things that we have to look at both locally but also as a country is how are we creating these innovation ecosystems to revitalize our economy and really look at the different types of startups that we have and determine what are the appropriate resources that we need and the appropriate infrastructure that we need to build for each of these different types.
What are the different types?
Well, what Steve is talking about is he's talking about the lifestyle business, and that's that surfer dude who goes out and starts a surf shop because he has a passion about it.
That's his lifestyle.
Right.
He just wants to be a surfer, and a fisherman wants to start a bait shop, and wants to start a bake shop.
I know a young entrepreneur locally who's very interested in doing something like this, but it's around biking, and so he's going to create a group biking enthusiast website where he's going to be able to launch a lot of different ideas and products, and it's a very neat concept. So
this could be something like fella's been working in a bank for 30 years,
uh-huh.
and a hobby might be carving art sculptors out uh-huh. of a certain product, like a soft wood or something. And after so many years of just doing that as a hobby, someone says, hey, what is all that? And I say, well, it's just stuff I've been carving. And, gosh, it's beautiful. Do you ever think of opening a little studio sometime? little hobbies can become a business.
Sure.
And it happens all the time.
Absolutely.
That's the lifestyle startup?
That's pretty much the lifestyle. And basically what you're talking about is somebody who has a passion about something that's so strong mm-hmm. that they want to find a way to put food on the table while doing what they really love.
Yeah.
Usually when we find someone like that, the first question I ask them is, all those people who said it was really neat and so on, did any of them ever buy one from you?
Right.
And the next time, ask for the $20 and see what happens.
Right.
If they say, yeah, here's $20, you might have a business.
There you go.
If not, you have a wonderful hobby. Enjoy it.
Right.
So,
and you have to make sure that you make those differences.
Right.
What's the next category then in
Well, his next category is the small business, and that's where you have a really strong technical aptitude in some area. So you mentioned the banker. So somebody might have an accounting background, and so after getting a certain amount of experience in that field, they go off and start their own accounting firm. And it might be a solo enterprise that they start to build up over time, you know, and they get to 50 to maybe 100 employees, but around here we'd probably say 10 to 20 employees, right?
Some examples might be starting a hairdressing shop or becoming a consultant or a travel agent, internet commerce storefronts, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, tradespeople.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of examples of that category of a small business startup.
Right. One of the most common ones around here we find are machine shops.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the ones that are spin-outs from the paper mills, people who work in the mills
printing
for many,
companies.
Many years.
Printers
and,
would be another one.
Really know how to handle that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we'll talk about spin-outs
a little
bit further down the line there, too.
Yep.
And that's an important point to talk about.
This. Okay.
It
All
says
right.
here, too, Drew, that this category, there are 5.7 million small businesses in the U.S. I thought there was more than that, but... And they make up 99% of all companies and employ 50% of all non-government workers.
Mm-hmm.
It's our largest sector.
Yeah.
So, and I think that number is probably low, but maybe a lot of people are waiting for things to turn around before they get back into it.
True.
So.
Yeah.
Between waiting for it to turn around and trying to find the money in between.
Right.
One thing I'd like to mention too is that somewhere I was reading a white paper that came out of Kauffman Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a study that was done on the Fortune 500 and the Inc. 500 companies. Someone had some extra time on their hands, and they went back and looked at what the economy was like when those 1,000 companies started out. About 60% of those companies started in an economic time like this.
Mm-hmm.
It was a recession or a really down time. And so I've been saying for the last number of years that this is a tough, difficult time. It certainly is, but it's also what a wonderful time for an opportunity, because the weak ones fail in these times, leaving opportunities for someone who can do it better to surface and replace that failed company.
Right, right. And I think part of it, too, is that success gets redefined over time.
Yes, it
so
does.
You have that creative destruction that comes out, and so if you haven't kept up, if you've become obsolete, that becomes a problem.
Yep. Well, we'll have to hold our thought, Drew. We're getting a signal from Bob. We have to take a break. We'll be coming back on the other side. You're listening to the BizTalk program and the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. And welcome back to BizTalk this morning. We're talking with Drew Fleck, who is the founder and owner of a company called Global Voyager Enterprises. And Drew is an entrepreneur himself. He studies entrepreneurism. We're reviewing a list of six characteristics or six categories that entrepreneurs might need to survive, and there should be an infrastructure to support each one of those six categories. If you have any questions for Drew, you can reach him, call us this morning. We'd be happy to take your question. You can call us at 281-1150 if you're in the Appleton market. If you're outside Appleton, call us on the TDS Metrocom toll-free line. That number is 1-866-887-1150. Drew, we were talking about the six categories, and we had just finished number two, and that was a small business startup.
Right.
The next one is the scalable startups.
Right. So This, again, is coming from Steve Blank, who is an entrepreneur himself in Silicon Valley, and now he's an instructor at Stanford, and he's traveling the world right now spreading this concept. So just so we make sure we plug him.
Give the credit.
Right. And so the next one is really this build-to-scale concept. And so how do you build these companies with the intention from the very beginning of going to a very large company? And the model that we see today most often is in high tech. So, you know, these small technology startups that you have a creative team, you know, there's usually somebody who's a programmer, somebody who's a marketing and salesperson, and then there's somebody else who might have a management background, and they get a team together of experienced high-tech startup people, and they go off and start building this around some business model and some idea that's going to be very innovative.
I think locally, Charlie Goff, who's an angel investor, they funded a video development firm in Green Bay, I think.
Frozen Codebase.
Yeah. Right. That might be an example of a born-to-be-big company, scalable.
Well, it depends on where Ben wants to take that.
Exactly.
Right?
So might be an example.
Right.
Depends on where he wants to go.
Right.
But that kind of tech, Google and Skype and Facebook and Twitter, they got born and bang, they're big.
Right, right. And a lot of, you know, when you're looking at a company like that, especially in the high-tech industry, you're going to try to find people that have smart money. You know, so they have a background in funding those kinds of startups. Right. You're looking for smart talent. In other words, people who have experience working in a startup like that. So you want to make sure that you have that kind of a critical mass around that. So we don't have a whole lot of that here. So I encourage people to go off, much like we send our kids off to college to get experience. It's that same kind of thing, only this is the experiential learning that you can't learn in a classroom. You really need to go out there.
Hands-on.
Exactly.
Jump in.
Exactly. Much like you'd want somebody to go off, and we were talking about this earlier, Randy, about having some sort of experience. So you go off and do something in the field that you want to start the business in.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so often we'll have clients that come in and say, well, we were talking about people who wanted to buy a resort. Okay, why? Because I love the place. It's a beautiful place. It has seven cabins. It's really wonderful.
Right.
Well, the problem is, have you ever run a resort? No, but I like it. No, you probably won't, because when you're there
at
11 o'clock in the Saturday night and things go wrong, it's not as much fun as it is being out there at daybreak on Saturday morning on a fishing pole in your hand. So.
Exactly. And being in an IT department for some company doesn't make you a programmer that's suited to do an entrepreneurial startup in high tech. It's a different kind of experience.
Exactly.
And chances are, they're going to come back anyway, because there's this thing in Wisconsin, I mentioned it before, my wife's homing device went off. Well, just about everybody I know that's in this industry that's come back here, it's usually around some homing device, either their own or their spousal unit's homing device going off. And so they're going to come back anyway.
The wonderful thing about that, too, is, as you said, they can come back. They don't have to be in Seattle. They don't have to be in Silicon Valley to make this work.
Right.
You can be in Tomahawk.
Sure.
And as long as you have the right connection electronically, away you go. You can work with the concept as long as you have, and you mentioned that, too, a very, very good business model that you're working with, as well as the technology behind it to make it work. So
well, there are
a combination
six,
like that's wonderful.
There are six categories. And just a quick review, the first one was a lifestyle startup. The second one was a small business startup, like a tradesman and so on. The third one we just finished talking about was a scalable startup, born to be big. The fourth one is a viable startup, born to flip.
Right. So that's that build to flip, you know, where you intend to build it in the from the very beginning. Idea is to sell it.
Make
and
cash
again,
out.
Right. And so you see a lot of this again in the high tech industry where a lot of these startup people, that's what they really love. So it's kind of that passion that you see in the lifestyle startup, but it's all around getting it to a certain stage in the life cycle of the organization and then flipping it. In other words, they find some people that are really good at the management side of taking it to the next stage, but they know that that's not where their skill set is. So what they do is they sell it to that group, and then they go off and they start another one.
Yep. Yeah. They're serial entrepreneurs. They do it again and again and again.
Another point that we usually try to make with people is that sometimes what you really want to do as far as your business is to grow out of it. You want to be there and do what you do best, but have the people around you to take on the business so you can go and do that again and do it again. So the bill of the flip kind of concept, I've run into a number of people who are good at it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's important in this category, too, is if you start the business to sell it, keep that in mind as you're operating the company every year until you sell it. Now, make your decisions with the intent that your objective, and don't forget that.
Right.
And some people are really good at starting things but not running things. Mm-hmm. Other people are good at running things but not starting things. So play to your strengths. If you don't have the ability to start but you're good at running and you want to do this, hire someone who can help you with that.
Right. And you see what happens is sometimes when people hit a certain stage in that life cycle and they reach the level of their capabilities, they either sell it or they roll back down and they lose a lot of people and they start over again and go through the same
cycle. There's a pattern there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The number five category is large company startups. Innovate or evaporate.
Right. And this is, you know, Randy, we were talking about this earlier too. You know, with the spin-out concept, too, is that a lot of times what happens is a new division gets started, mm-hmm. but it's such a different animal from what the corporation is used to, both in terms of the people who are the talent that's staffing it, because they think differently. They aren't just trying to do the central planning around the bureaucracy. They're really doing the creative stuff. So it's more of a skunk works. So whether or not that gets integrated back into the corporation or not depends on what the overall goals are of that corporation. So many times they get spun out.
Yeah. One of the things I saw, again, from experience, was a case where two young men who were working in a division, a small division of a very, very big international company, said, we can do this a lot better. Mm-hmm. All we need is $3 million. So we sat down, built a business plan, worked with a broker, business broker, approached the company and said, here. The company said, well, yeah, we don't understand this thing anyway. You guys are the ones who run it. So, yeah, here you go. Take it. And, they needed $3 million to get it started. But with a very good business plan, they put it together, came up with $9 million success so far the last 3 years. So,
that's great. That's great.
It's a matter of having the plan and understanding your business. So spin-out's a great idea.
Recognizing the opportunity and being prepared to realize the opportunity. You have to be prepared when the opportunity presents itself, and that's the definition of success, really.
And there's a number of those as examples here in the Fox River Valley. If you wander around and take a look, many of them started out as a little bitty print shop and are now one of the largest printers in the Midwest because they spun out of a major corporation. Mm-hmm.
Going to be a lot more localized to whatever the industry is and what the infrastructure is that supports them. Yeah.
Then the number six category is social startups. Driven to make a difference.
Right. So there's some sort of cause that they're building the organization around. So, for example, one that comes to mind is like EAA around experimental aircraft.
Right.
So that was really a social organization, and there's a lot of social relationships that are formed through that organization, and that's really what the push is. You know, you see something like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right? You know, so that's really around that cause again.
Yep.
And there are some other companies, and I can't remember which Bath and...
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Is that the one? Or is it Bath and Body Works? But a certain, you know, they started that around a social cause. Even though it's a for-profit company, it's... still has this social
foundation.
Aspect.
Yeah.
Right.
And of course, we've got Goodwill Industries here in the Midwest.
Look at the churches that are look at new churches starting up. Mm-hmm. A lot of non-denominational churches are starting up. It's a social startup.
Right.
It's nonprofit, but they want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Causes, pro-life, healthcare, YMCA. Sure. That was a social thing. Boy Scouts.
But again, with a good business model and a good business plan, remembering that just because it says you're a nonprofit doesn't mean you don't have a positive cash flow. You've got to be able to sustain the business. And so, again, planning to have it as a social goal, but with a good model to work with.
Well, and those kinds of companies really need to look at some different organizations that have done it before. And also look at some of the things that we find in popular literature, like Guy Kawasaki's Selling the Dream, you know, and all of his different books that he's extended that concept off of.
Kawasaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Is it, no, I think Guy Kawasaki was he started off with the Macintosh Way. He generalized that.
Okay,
turned it
I'm
into
thinking of a different guy then.
And then The Art of the Start.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rules for Revolutionary.
The author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad wrote a book, a really good book on how to manage cash and learn to appreciate the value of work for money and so on. Mm-hmm. But he went on to build an enterprise with a lot of games that teach people how to budget and manage for families and small businesses. So I just had a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
But a quick review then, the six categories are lifestyle startups, small business startups, scalable startups, viable startups, large company startups, and social startups. So every entrepreneur sort of fits into one of those six categories. Is that the
pretty much? If you start to look at the different types of entrepreneurs that you have, you can classify them within
sure.
there. There may be some, you know, levels within each one.
Yep. We're going to have to take our last break right here, Drew, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll give out the phone numbers again. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. Now, welcome back to the final segment of Biz Talk this morning. Tony Bush here with Randy Melzer, and we're talking with Drew Fleck. We're discussing the six categories of entrepreneurs and the infrastructure that would be helpful to really give entrepreneurism a good boost in our economy today. Drew, give us a little bit of information about where folks can reach you, your contact information. If they have some questions and they weren't able to call or didn't want to call this morning but still want to contact you, they're thinking about one of the categories they might fit in, and they want to learn some more about that. How can they? Do you have a website or a phone number?
No, actually, I use LinkedIn a lot because it's actually a very nice way to establish relationships and figure out who you really want to connect with, and whether that be clients or people that you want to form alliances with.
Okay. And what is that? How do they reach you on LinkedIn?
They would just do a search on Andrew Fleck, PhD, on LinkedIn, and that will take them there.
How do you spell your last name?
F is in Foxtrot, L-E-C-K.
Andrew Fleck, PhD, on LinkedIn.
Okay. Which brings us to another question, too, because I know some of the topics that you teach about deal a lot with networking, with the ideas of organizational groups, teams, this type of thing. Using LinkedIn, of course, is one of the more popular social networks.
Right.
Again, how do you see that as helping people today, working with networking?
Well, I think that one of the things that entrepreneurs really have to do is they have to evaluate what their entrepreneurial social capital is. And we have all of these mixed messages where, you know, you have to be on Twitter, you have to be on Facebook, and that's how they're measuring it. Well, it goes beyond that. And part of the things that people forget is that long before there was social media, there were social networks. From the beginning of humanity, we've had social networks, and they're really about the connections that we have.
I mean talking to each other.
Talking to each other, and who do you go to? So whom do you go to for advice, right? Who do you go to when you're innovating something and you want to share innovative ideas? And it's different. Your social capital evaluation is going to be different if you're doing that startup that's a lifestyle business or a small business versus if you're looking to do something in an innovative area and it's going to be build to scale or build to flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you really need to look at what that is and get some kind of idea what that social capital is.
Right.
And the true thing is that when you're looking for those smaller businesses, you're actually looking for trust-based relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the innovation side, it's really more about diversity of thought so that you have more inputs into what it is that you're trying to do so that you have, because it's much more disruptive, you need to have a whole bunch of different ideas coming in.
We only have a couple minutes left, Drew, but we'd like to ask you to leave a biz tip for our listening audience.
Okay, well,
a pearl of wisdom.
The big thing is the experience, the experiential learning. You know, you can take a whole bunch of classes on entrepreneurship, but at the end of the day, you really have to go in and experience it, and you have to fly by the seat of your pants. So if there's a certain industry that you're interested in, go get involved in it.
Right.
And really experience it and earn your stripes, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, if you're going to network with a purpose, know what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing is there's like four steps that you take when you're going to start a business. And the first step is do something. Just get it started because by getting out there and doing something every day, you've got a chance to succeed. If you don't do something, it's never going to happen. So,
right.
Drew, I want to thank you for being our guest this morning. It was a really good program, very educational. So thank you for bringing that
thank
in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being our guest. Randy, where are you going right after this?
I'm going to be doing some tree sales.
Where?
Plug. Okay, thanks. We're going to be out at Festival Foods parking lot for the Y Service Club selling Christmas trees. Y'all come out.
It's the Christmas season.
You
and
got it.
Randy needs more exercise. He's the guy who lifts all the trees and puts them on top of the car.
Please come with small cars.
And buy small trees?
Or big trees.
Big trees. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. We want to thank you again for tuning in and welcome you and tune in next week. You've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.